Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
What a wonderful honor to be here with you, Liberty Baptist, on your 40th anniversary. 40 years. That is special. That's very special. Especially when the founder of the church, the first pastor of the church, the first assistant pastor of the church, the first Sunday school teacher of the church, the first janitor of the church, the first chairman of the building committee of the church, could all be here with us tonight. Oh, actually, he is here, right there. He is here, the one and only, my friend and yours, Dr. David Tice. And actually, I think Anna was the first assistant pastor. But anyway, Liberty's never been real straight on their Baptist polity. But anyway, Kathy and Clint send their love. Clint, when you sent me the picture, how many saw the suit he wore Sunday, huh? It properly fit him. It wasn't one he got at TJ Maxx or at Target. And it looked sharp. And so I showed Clint the picture. How many remember my son, Clint? He was born with Down syndrome several years ago, and he's going to be 33 this year. And he looked at it, and he said, "Father, that's my friend, Dave Tice, and he is handsome."
Smart kid.
Remember, his sight has been impaired since birth. But anyway, I love this guy. I do. I love this guy. I tell you what, I was in Washington, D.C. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock in Washington, D.C. 9/11, I flew to Washington, D.C. For some congressional briefings and for a White House briefing that we had today. And got up this morning at 5 o'clock. Matt was up early taking Brother Dave Young to the airport. And he said he was up at 3:45. I said, "You should have called." But and then I jumped in a plane, flew here. And I'm so glad to be here. Because I love this guy. Hey, together, let's say it loud and say it slow so he can comprehend. Let's say it. I love this guy. I love him. I love him. We love you. He's got a toothache right after the service. I'm going to take a pair of pliers and take care of that for him. But, Matt called me and it was like 10:30 or 10:44 Sunday night. And he said, "Hey, could you come on Wednesday and preach for us?" I said, "Well, let me think here for a second." And a still small voice from the other side of the room, which was my wife, said, "Yes, you can. He's your friend." And so I put back, "Yes, I can," because my wife, I wanted to come. I appreciate so very much the ministry and our friendship over the years. We've had a wonderful, wonderful friendship. Tonight, Matt told me, he said, and the emphasis, he said, "I'll call you tomorrow," because he was actually up here on the stage where he's texting me and everything. By the way, nobody texts us while I am preaching, all right? But anyway, he was texting during whoever was preaching Sunday night. But anyway, Monday night, Sunday night, because I got to get up at 4 o'clock on Monday morning to get to the White House or get to Washington, so I didn't have time to go to the church, so I said, "No problem, I got a 40-year message, my brother-in-law had 40 years, hey, I'll just use the same message, just take his name out and put Dave's name there." And then, I talked to him on Monday and he said, "No, we've already done that. We need something on the next 40 years." And so this is so fresh. The ink is still drying on this message. And I want us to go to Jude. Let's go to Jude. Let's all stand. We're going to read a few verses out of Jude, starting with verse number 3 and then going from verse 3 to verse 20 through 25. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless this service. Again, Father, I thank you for my friend and how you've used him to build this church, how you've used him in such a wonderful way. And dear God, I pray you continue to bless this place. I thank you for Liberty Baptist Church. And I pray, Father, tonight this message will be encouragement to them as they look forward to the next 40 years. Now, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jude starts out exhorting Christians to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto them. What a great verse to emphasize as we celebrate 40 years and look forward to the next 40 years. Because you have had faith delivered to you. You've had the truth delivered to you. You've had the common salvation delivered to you. This pulpit has been strong over the years delivering the truth and delivering faith. Now you have the responsibility. Yes, you have the responsibility to earnestly contend for the faith so that 40 years from now, we'll both be dead decomposing. But 40 years from now, you'll be able to have another service looking back at 80 years. Next summer on June the 6th or 7th, I'm preaching for a church near Greenville, Michigan. I'm preaching for their 175th anniversary. Can you believe that? 175 years. And what a wonderful blessing to know that as you look at this portion of Scripture, that faith that he's talking about is what you've received. It's been delivered to you. You've had the truth. And then in verses 4 through 19, he says that you need to recognize that some want to change that faith. Some want to corrupt that faith. And so do not let them. You contend for it. Go forward with what's been delivered to you. I gave all diligence. I am compelled, he basically is saying, to tell you to make sure that you don't let them have what you have. Don't let them corrupt what you have. But you keep on keeping on. So as we look at these verses and then recognize in verses 20 through 25, he encourages us to get involved in this faith. Get involved in this faith. Go forward with this faith. And so I'm going to look at verse 3, 20 through 25 tonight, and I trust it to be encouragement to you as we look at what we need to do to see God continue to bless this place, to see God continue to have this place, this church go forward as we have this most holy faith, he goes on to say later on. A lot of churches are changing today. A lot of churches are changing just to change. As we look at this portion of Scripture, he says, first of all, keep contending. Everything's going to be keep. Keep contending for the faith in verse number 3. What's been delivered to you, this common salvation, what's been delivered to you is this faith, the most holy faith. Isn't that interesting? He says, the most holy faith. Again, a lot of churches are changing, and change is fresh. I've got nothing against change. Matter of fact, when I was walking through the baggage area today, I noticed a woman had on the back of her shirt change. But you guys, what time did you get up today? Change is new. I like a new smell, a new car smell. Do you like a new car smell? Yeah, it's kind of neat. And our new boat smell. I got a boat. My wife bought me a boat. She said, since you're not going to retire, I'm going to buy you a boat because you're getting so old. You won't be. There's a 6-year warranty on the E-Tech 115 Evinrude motor. And she said to the salesman, she said, yeah, that's perfect because he probably won't be able to run it after 6 years. Can you imagine that? My sweet wife. But anyway, change. That new boat smell, I like that. That's why I'm careful when we catch fish, we throw rugs down so I can throw the rugs away. But anyway, I'm not against change, although I usually resist change. Matt knows that. I resist change. You know, I really dislike it when I'm used to a product or I'm used to something and then all of a sudden it changes. You know, like I got used to a shampoo and then all of a sudden it changed. It's new and improved shampoo. I got used to this Brooks Brothers shirt. I love this Brooks Brothers shirt. And then all of a sudden they changed it. They make a new improved shirt. It's skinny. They're making all these clothes skinny now. Did you notice that? Skinny. I can't wear skinny clothes. I don't have six packs. I got 2 liter stuff going on here. And so, you know, I've been here enough. I can share a couple of personal things with you folks. But I used to buy my underclothing at JCPenney's. And then I went to Kohl's. They've changed. I don't know where to go now. Well, you don't wear any. But anyway, change. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we can laugh and have a great time? I tell you what. Oh, I realize we're independent Baptists, and I realize you certainly can make changes if you want to make changes. But they ought to be changes that build up your faith. They ought to be changes that are helping the most holy faith go forward. You understand what I'm saying? But most changes are made today are not made contending. The word contending means agonizing. It's like work. It's like fight. Like anybody ever do a boxing? Anybody box here? All right, that guy right there. Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, wrestle. How about wrestlers? Do we have any wrestlers here? Where you're contending? It's work. It is work. It's work after about the third round to hold those gloves up, isn't it? It's work. It's work. But that agonizing, contending for the faith. You know, most are not contending for the most holy faith. Most are not making agonizing changes, Doc. They're not. That would mean there'd be more Bible, there'd be more prayer, there'd be more consecration, there'd be more commitment. But they're making changes basically for society's convenience. They're making changes where there's less Bible, fewer services, less commitment, less consecration. Someone brought me an advertisement for one of these new improved churches. And first of all, it says, "This is not your parents' church." I kind of like my parents' church because at my parents' church, my mom, who sang in nightclubs, and my dad, who cleaned out bars with his fists, got saved. I kind of like that. But this is not your parents' church, right on there. And he says, "Come as you are." This is new improved church. Pajama Sunday. Your pastor doesn't wear pajamas. You could never have a pajama Sunday. Drama. Contemporary music. Your tooth's feeling better already, isn't it? Contemporary music. Ready? This is the big one. No guilt. Come to this church, no guilt. Not one, Brother Carter, not one mention of the Bible. Not one mention of the book, the blood, or the blessed hope. Not one mention of that. But let's have a good time. Just entertainment of the flesh instead of contending for the faith. You know, God has given us a great opportunity. And at Liberty Baptist Church, you've seen wonderful, prospering years here because you have been contending for the faith. You have stuck by the stuff. Okay, you know, it's their business. And by the way, that church, it's their business. I'm too busy to get exercise concerning that church. I don't pay any attention to it. That's that church. That church can do whatever they want to do, but I wish they wouldn't call it church. And perhaps in a few years they won't call it church anymore. Just call it a gathering or something. But keep contending. If you want this to happen 40 years from now, you need to keep contending today. Secondly, keep building your faith. Verse number 20. Look at it again with me. Verse number 20. Let me get it here. Verse 20. Keep building your faith. The Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Jude says, not only are we to contend, but we're to build. That's also work. Jude is telling us to build up our faith. How? Well, if you're going to build your body, you've got to put the right stuff in your body. It's really funny. I was talking to Matt the other day, and he says, I said, "Well, how did we get into it where you told me you were eating grapes?" What was that? Was that Monday? Was Monday your last day? Yeah, you're eating. That's right. He says, "Yeah, I'm eating grapes today." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I'm on this diet, and it's called the Whole 30 or something like that diet, which my wife and I have been on before. And it really worked for my wife. I've got a new diet. I'm not counting calories anymore. I'm just counting meals. I'm going to try to stay with 3. But if you want to have a good body, hey, Brad, come up here for a minute. Come on up here, man. Come on. Come on. Look at this body. I've known this guy. Look at this. Come on up here. Come on. Look at this guy. Huh? Yeah, man. Look at this. Let me see it. Flex. Give me your muscle. Come on. Give me the muscle. Give me the muscle, man. Look at that. Sit down, you show off. He didn't get that by eating McDonald burgers every day, okay? And he's been working out. Jude is telling us to build up your faith. How? Well, you've got to put the right resource. You've got to put the right stuff in your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Say, "Show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." As we learn the word, we learn God's ways. As we learn God's ways, we learn God's will. As we learn God's will, we learn how to work for God. And you know, the word, it's got to be word-based, not world-based. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The Bible has to be the preeminent center of attention here at Liberty Baptist Church for this church to prosper. It's God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. "Continue thou," Paul says to Timothy, "continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What a great verse as we look forward to 40 more years. "Continue thou in the things which you have learned." This church is looking forward to the next 40 years. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that," ready? Here it is, "which is to come." The next 40 years. The future, the next 40 years depends on how you handle the Word of God. The next 40 years depends on you building your faith. The future depends on how you handle the Word and build the Word, or how you build your faith up. Read it. Read the Word of God. Study it. Get in Sunday school. Mentor somebody with a Bible study. Get to church. Hebrews 10:25. Listen when you're in church. Revelation chapters 2 and chapters 2 and 3, where the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Huh? Sometimes we don't hear, do we? Do we? You always hear her? No. I don't want to get you in trouble tonight. I got myself in trouble not long ago. I was out fishing with one of my friends in the church. Actually, this guy was a hood when we were going to high school together. And it was one of the first fights I ever had in school. Actually, it was the third fight I had in school. But anyway, this guy was one of the toughest guys, and he got saved, and now he's a member of my church. It's really a neat thing. But we're out fishing, and my knees were hurting. He said, "You know, Pastor, you ought to try apple cider vinegar." How many of you people drink apple cider vinegar? The mother. I don't know what that means, but the mother. That's not a Catholic thing, is it? But the mother. Apple cider vinegar. And he said, "That will help." And so I said, "Okay." So I went home, and I said to my wife, "Honey, you got any more of that apple cider vinegar?" "Well, yeah." "You mean you want some?" I said, "Yeah. Mix me some up. Yeah." She said, "You wanted a big glass?" I said, "Whatever. How do you drink it?" She said, "I stick it in there." I said, "Okay." So I'm like, "Oh man, that was nasty. I just brushed my teeth and used Scop, and then I had that as the chaser for those." Don't do that. But I've been taking it for like 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden I found out I didn't have to take as much ibuprofen. You know how much ibuprofen I take. I take between 12 and 1,600 milligrams a day because my knees are so bad. And all of a sudden I'm down to 400 milligrams a day. Today I had 600 today because I was running through airports. But anyway, I said to my wife, "This is really working great." And she says, "I've been telling you this for 4 years. I've been telling you to take this apple cider vinegar." And all of a sudden, you go fishing one day with Lonnie, and he tells you to take apple cider vinegar, and you take it. "I'm sorry, honey." "Oh, no. That's not going to do. Oh, no." So anyway, the big joke around our church, because I told the people at church this, everybody says, "Go to Lonnie, he'll tell you the truth, and he'll fix you up. He's a..." The future depends on you listening. We're so distracted today. We have so many things going on. Listening to the Word of God and building up your faith. Hearing the Word of God. Building up your faith. So keep contending. Keep building your faith. Verse number 20. Again, keep what? Keep praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. As we look at this, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Your pastor is one of the best prayer warriors, and I say this, one of the best prayer warriors I know. Pastors that are friends of mine, pastors I speak for. I know a lot of pastors. This guy is a prayer warrior. When I have things that are urgent, I call him. Say, "Man, will you pray?" And I know he'll pray. He is a prayer warrior. And I praise God for how God has used him over these 40 years. And I believe the reason you've had success is because prayer has been emphasized in his life and in this church. How I praise God, brother, for your prayer life. Thank you. Praying has been a huge part. And for this church to go forward in the next 40 years, it has to stay as a big part. I was reading Robert Murray M'Cheyne, the Scottish preacher. What a revival they had in Scotland because of this man's preaching and praying. There was a young preacher that went to visit the church where Robert Murray M'Cheyne preached from. And there was an old custodian there, a very old man. And he's probably about the age of your pastor. And And the young preacher said, could you tell me the secret of Robert Murray McShane's success and why he had such great revival meetings and why people got saved? Now, listen, Robert Murray McShane, Pastor Matt, only lived to be 2 months shy of 30 years old. When he died, there were 7,000 Scotchmen at his funeral. He made an impact. This old custodian takes him in to Robert Murray McShane's office and sets him, says, sit in that chair back there behind that desk. And he's sitting in that chair behind the desk. He said, now, sir. He said, you want to know the secret? Put your head in your hands and start praying until the tears flow down your cheeks. That's the secret. Prayer. Never underestimate prayer. Never underestimate what God can do. You know, that's the secret. That's something that's been used here. That's something that's been always here. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Keep contending. Keep building. Keep praying. Keep praying. Bow the knee. How's your prayer life? Your kids see you pray? Your kids hear you pray? How is your prayer life? It is so important that you have a prayer life. It's so important that you understand how important prayer is. In the very throne room of God, we've got that access because of Jesus Christ. Keep loving. Huh? Verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus gave himself for us so that we could have a new life. Remember back in chapter 4 of Ephesians where he said, you have not known Christ, or take off the old life and put on the new life? That new life is all about showing the love of God which was shed abroad in your heart. Jesus gave himself for us so that we could have a life that would follow him and show the love of God. There was a soldier who had one arm, and the chaplain heard about this soldier and how he had lost his arm. So he thought when the young man would come in to the meeting area, he would try to encourage him. And so the young man came in and he said, I heard how you lost your arm. The young man looked up at the chaplain. The chaplain said, you're a hero. I heard how you lost your arm. And the one-armed soldier said, sir, I didn't lose my arm. I gave my arm. I gave my arm so a fellow soldier would live. I pushed him out of the way and took the brunt of that grenade. The Bible says that Jesus hath given himself for us. He pushed us off the cross and took our place. Think about Jesus for a second. Would you just think about what Jesus has done for you? Just think about it for a minute. Listen, people, we need to make sure that we're doing what our Jesus wants us to do. And he's asked us to follow him, to mimic Him, to walk after Him, to love one another. To walk in love, to forbear one another in love, Ephesians 4:2, to forgive one another, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sometimes we show more love outside our families than in our families. Sometimes we show more love to the down and outers than we do to our own brothers and sisters in Christ. I was traveling to preach up in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin. And so we were driving up through the UP and we pulled off at a big boy restaurant. And I had the twins. The twins were with me just a few years back, and Clint. And so when we walked in the restaurant, Clint, my Down syndrome son, who thinks your pastor's handsome, who knows 100 scripture verses, who's a blessing. And people come in every Sunday at our church and look over there on the east wing and they see him ushering. He's just smiling big. He always has a nice suit on. He's a clothes hog. He loves nice clothes, or a clothes horse. And he loves nice clothes. And he's over there and they say, isn't that sweet, that Down syndrome boy over there ushering? But he's got a great memory. As he passes the plate, he's able to tell me what everybody gives in that section so I can help them with their stewardship. But anyway, we walk in this big boy restaurant, and there's this man mopping the floor, and Clint went by, and he's very happy, and he says, hi, how are you? And the man just kept on mopping. And so we sat at the table, and the man came by our table, and Clint said, hi, how are you? And the man just kept on mopping. And he looked over at me and he said, Father, beat him up. Clint did not get the response he wanted, so he wrote him off. But isn't it a shame? That's what happens to a lot of churches. We start fussing with each other and we write each other off, and then we grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're not walking in love like we ought to. And there's no unity, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we lose the power of the Holy Spirit on our congregation in our services. We need to walk in love. Tell the person next to you, walk in love. Go ahead, tell them. Walk in love. Tell the person on the other side, just in case they didn't hear. Anybody tell you, ma'am? Walk in love. Walk in love. Okay. Nice smile. Thank you. Yeah. So keep loving. Keep contending, keep building, keep loving. Ready? Yeah, you got it. Verse 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling. I know you don't want to hear that, Pastor, because tomorrow you have to go to the dentist. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Keep pulling. Of some have compassion, making a difference. That's huge. Compassion. To see a person, to recognize that person has a soul. That soul is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. How many here still believe in hell? Yeah, a lot of people don't. Matter of fact, 20, 25 years ago, Time magazine said hell must not be as hot as it used to be because preachers aren't preaching on hell any longer. Billy Sunday went to Saginaw, Michigan, and when he went there, this was 100 years ago, when he went there, he said the difference between Saginaw, Michigan and hell is that Saginaw, Michigan has a river flowing through the middle of it. Yeah, that's how bad Saginaw, Michigan was. But there is a real hell, just like there is a real God. And God has made a way for man to escape hell by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ, as his personal Savior. Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. They were without hope. One commentator wrote, I read it, they were like skinned sheep, wobbling to destruction. Wow. Kathy and I led a couple to the Lord about our age on Sunday. The reason they got saved is because a friend of theirs who works out in the same gym said to me, "Pastor, I really feel burdened for my friends. This burden has really erupted since he had open heart surgery. Became more aware of death and more aware of the frailty of life. I got to do all I can do to get my friends to church so they can hear the word of God so we can see them saved." And so Joe Coburn invited his friends. They got saved in my office Sunday. But it was because of his compassion. This church is known all over the country. I was talking to my brother, and he has some people in his church whose grandson was out here this past summer, and he was telling them how he passed out thousands of tracts and how that church is a soul-winning church. My brother down in Sarasota, Florida. Well, they've been through it down there in Florida, haven't they? I called my brother and I said, "Man, I'm praying for you." And I said, "Whatever you do, make sure you keep your boat safe." I love that boat he has. It's a big whaler. I love it. We go out on the golf. It's beautiful. Called him back on Monday at Washington. "Well, how's the boat? And how are you guys?" I said boat first. I should have said him first. But anyway. But this church is known for a church who sees the need of souls and has compassion for souls. Keep contending. Keep building. Keep praying. Keep loving. Keep pulling. Keep hating sin. Verse number 23. Notice if you would please. The Bible says, "And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Yeah. Recognize that the world and the devil and the flesh are enemies. So we were talking in the office earlier. We were talking about how this world is so wicked. We have to protect building up our faith. We have to protect our most holy faith. We have to protect what we have from God. We need to live righteously. We need to make sure we're preaching messages that are still meeting the needs of man by telling man that you have to confess your sin. Sin is missing the mark. Keep hating sin. And then keep praising. I'm done. Seven of them. Keep praising. Keep being grateful. Look at what God has done for you. Notice those last couple of verses, or the last verse. He says in verse number 25, "To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." I love the spirit of this church. Of course, I love your pastor and I love Matt and I love his family. I love, you know, this is a wonderful church. But your spirit is such a wonderful spirit because you realize where you came from. You realize it's by God's grace you're here tonight. You recognize that God has done something for you. He has delivered to you a common salvation. Now you have a faith. He has given you this opportunity to live for Him. So make sure you keep a grateful heart. Sometimes we get used to the blessings we have from God, and those blessings are forgotten when it comes to our praise and our prayer. Appreciate what you have. It's been a kind of a rough couple of weeks. 3 weeks ago, Monday, my brother Tim in Lansing, Michigan, we started a community Baptist church there in Lansing, Michigan. His wife went into the doctor she thought she had Lyme's disease or something. They came out of the doctor's office, went to the hospital. They did some x-rays, some MRIs, and they found out she had an inoperable brain tumor. They found out later in the week was cancer. Tried to call my brother about every other day to encourage him, but many times when we're talking on the phone, I have to cover my phone and weep and then talk to him again. He said, "Doug, pray that my wife of 38 years, pray that she'd be healed." On the day I was waiting to hear what the insurance office said and what the other doctor said, the doctor from Mayo Clinic who was working with the Rochester, or was working with Sparrow Hospital there in Lansing. And the text I got today was, "We've decided to go on hospice." You got to appreciate what you have. Not only in our marriages, but in our church. There's a lot of churches today that are imploding. A lot of churches today that don't have what you have here. I was driving down River Road, not far from our church. And there was a good old preacher there for a lot of years. And he left, and when he left, a new guy came in, and now, guess what? There's a brewery where that church used to be. That church is now a brewery. For you to have what you have tonight, you got to keep contending. Keep building, keep praying, keep loving, keep pulling, keep hating sin, keep praising God. Many of our churches have a lot of people who used to prescribe to that list. That's the old time program. That's God's word settled in heaven. They used to be contending. They used to be building their faith. They used to be prayer warriors. They used to be loving and forgiving. They used to be involved in the soul winning. They used to be involved in hating sin. They used to be involved in praising God. But now they no longer contend. That's not you, is it? Is that you? Jesus is coming. And we have no lease on life. Someday we'll give an account of our lives. Best thing you can do is get involved in the thing that Jesus started. That'd be the local church. And serve Him with all your heart. Will you help this church go the next 40 years? Do greater things for God than even what's been done in the past 40 years? The cause of Christ beckons you to contend for the faith. Father, we thank You for this time You've given us tonight. We thank You for Your word and the power of it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would work in our hearts. Father, I pray that You would help us see the opportunity we have, the responsibility we have. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Liberty Baptist Church. I thank You for my dear friend. And I pray, dear God, that You would continue to use this place as a lighthouse in Sin City. Father, I pray that You would move in the hearts of these good folks that have gathered here tonight on this Wednesday night service. And Father, I pray Your Spirit would work in our hearts. And if we're not contending, if we're not building, if we're not praying the way we ought, if we're not loving the way we ought, if we're not pulling, if we're not hating sin, if we're not praising You, dear God, reveal that to us tonight so that we might be used of You to build this church in the next 40 years. Dear God, help us see our need. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed in the quietness of the moment. How many would say to the uplifted hand, "Pastor Jackson, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. If I were to die tonight, I know I'd go to heaven. Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life. I'm saved." If you could say that tonight, would you slip your hand up as a testimony?
you're saved? Amen. You may put your hands down.
You'd say, you know, Pastor Jackson, I'm just not sure. If I were to die, then I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, friend, I'd like to introduce you to my Jesus. Right now, I'd like to pray for you. Could I pray for you tonight? You're not sure you're saved? Could I pray for you? Just slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. Anyone like that here tonight? I'll pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else? I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. I pray, Father, that you'd meet their needs tonight by having them come and let us show them out of the Bible how they can know Jesus as their Savior. As a Christian tonight, you'd say, okay, Pastor Jackson, truth is I'm not continuing the way I should. I'm not building. I'm not praying. I'm not loving. I'm not pulling. I'm not hating. Sin. I've done 3 out of the 7, but you'd say, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart tonight, one of those areas, and I know I need to get some things right with my God tonight. And by God's grace, I want to see this church go forward another 40 years, and I want to be a part of that heritage and that legacy. Remember me in prayer as God has spoke to my heart tonight. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up in the quietness of the moment? All about the building. God bless you. All about the building. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's quietly stand to our feet. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you raise your hand, like you come and pray here at the altar tonight. Just come and pray here at the altar. And let God continue to use the message from the Word of God to speak to your heart. That you might use the Word of God to build, to contend, to pray, to love, to pull, to hate, even the sin. Would you come? Come even now. That's right. You slip your hands up. You come. If you're here tonight without Jesus, your Savior, you come. We'd like to show you tonight how you can be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You raise your hand, you come. Come and pray here at the altar. Don't tell me you're going to get things right if you're not willing to come and do right by your God. Would you come? God bless you. Amen. Did you listen? Huh? Did you hear? God speaking to your heart tonight? Oh, what a rich heritage you have, Brother Tice. And oh, how it'd be great to look over the portals of heaven and see this church continue like I want to see community continue 40 years from now.
Father, may we not just celebrate what you have done, but may we continue to contend for the gospel, for the faith, for a hatred of sin, for a love for you. Father, may the next 40 years be a continued testament of the foundation that you've given us, not in a man or a heritage or even a building, but in the Lord Jesus Christ in your word. I pray that we would see greater things and we look with expectation to what you will do as we begin our 41st year of ministry this weekend.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.